Welcome to Hey Julie here at JulieLand.com, the home of everything adult. We've got the hottest adult stars. We've got the most beautiful women. We've got stars. We've got everything. And now we're going to go behind the scenes a little bit and learn more about this business from the other side of the camera. Wicked Pictures' very own Joy King. Hi, Joy.
Hey, Julie.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. So you have been in the adult industry for, do you say how many years? Do you mind?
Well, that's always a loaded question,
I know
isn't
it?
I've been in the business for 21 years, but who's counting?
Wow, 21 years. Yeah. And what did you start doing when you first got in?
Well, when I first started, I was actually just worked in the accounting department of one of the large adult companies back mm-hmm. in the 80s.
Okay.
And just kind of moved my way around from accounting, went into public relations, which is what I really love.
Right.
And then did some sales back to PR, some sales back to PR, and I kind of bounced around from the two of those things.
And now you're vice president of Wicked?
Vice president of special projects for Wicked Pictures.
Wow.
I have had a lot of hats at the company, and right now I focus on sort of our content management mm-hmm. and a couple other things.
I know this is a loaded question that you get all the time, and we could probably spend hours talking about it. But 21 years ago, what was the business like?
Well, I got to tell you, it's so funny how much it's changed mm-hmm. over the last 20 years. It was a very taboo business at the time. The government was very actively pursuing legislation to put the adult industry out of business completely.
I've heard stories where, like, at the awards show, the FBI would be there taking photographs
of
people's license plates.
We got raided. I went through a raid where the FBI came in and stormed the building, and then they'd line you up in the lunchroom and take your picture with a, they definitely used intimidation tactics.
You have a file, don't you?
I do.
Wow. That's kind of cool, really.
That's right. Want to see my file?
Yeah.
So it's certainly gained a lot of public acceptance, mm-hmm. and it's certainly become, through technology, I think, really expansive and far more popular. It's part of pop culture now, and it's really a completely different animal than it used to be. It's a lot of fun.
So you've been with Wicked through a lot.
A lot. I've been there since the beginning, so I've been there for over 11 years.
When I first started in the business, so that was, okay.
Dare we say.
I know. Yeah, I think I dare. 12 years ago.
Yep.
So there were days that the owner, Steve-O, and we would go in the mid, like around 2 o'clock or to the bar and drink beer and play darts and things like that, because there just wasn't much to do. And now you guys are a multi-million dollar
one of the big players now,
and how did that happen? Do you see a formula? Do you see all these companies coming in?
Well,
what did Wicked do different?
I'll tell you. I think that there's it's a combination of things. Steve Ornstein, who owns Wicked, very mm-hmm. good friend of yours, of course, had from the very beginning a vision for what he wanted to accomplish in owning a company in this business, and that was quality, quality, quality. He wasn't going to do it unless he could do it better than other people,
mm-hmm.
and he really wanted to pursue sort of the couples market and more female-friendly porn, and he's stuck very tried and true to that goal,
right?
Is maintaining a level of quality that just isn't found in a lot of other productions,
right?
That I also think there's something to be said for embracing technology mm-hmm. and making sure that you are on sort of the cutting edge and the leading edge of whatever new technology there is. We're a production company,
right?
But it's about how we deliver our content to people. And mm-hmm. it's not just, oh, we make a movie. It's we make a movie and then we make a DVD and we put extras on it. And then, now there's, podcasts, as you know, there's mobile content to deal with. There's different cable deals and set box deals. It's so much more expansive than people really realize from a business perspective.
Well, for so long when it turned to everybody who had a camera became a pornographer doesn't mean that everybody, all of those people were businessmen either, also on top of it.
You know, I always say that one of the things about this industry is that there are a lot of people doing business by accident.
Right.
And very few people that actually have a plan and a, and sort of the insight to really take the business to another level. And that's, you know, Steve has an amazing vision, and that's one of his strengths, is that he's always been able to do that.
Right.
And he hires, you know, he surrounds himself with the best people.
Right.
He really does. He finds the best directors and the best, you know, employees. And, you know, that's a big part of it, is recognizing talent and being willing to pay those people to stay on board to help your company grow.
Right. Makes sense. What do you have advice for people? Is the business full? Is there still room for people who want to come in and start a company and get into the adult business?
I don't ever think the business is full. I think there's always going to be, one of the interesting things about adult entertainment and sexuality in general is that most people don't know what they like until they see it.
Right.
This isn't a business where you're going to do, it's not a new car where you do studies and you find out what people want and they want a different type of a cup holder. It's not like that. You can't go do market research and find out that this is what people want to see right now.
Right.
So in terms of content, try new things and see what people like and how they respond to it.
Right.
And because of that, I think there's always room for new people coming in and trying new and different things. And, you know, there are a lot of pioneers in the business, and I think we'll hopefully continue to see that through the growth of the business through technology.
Right. What about your advice to talent that wants to get in? Do you think how much it's changed and everything? Is that still?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if you're being serious about getting into the business because you want to have a career and you're open-minded and you love sex, I think it's great. I think if you're looking at the industry because you want to pay your rent,
right,
and you're not crazy about it, but hey, I hear I can make a lot of money, I think it's a bad idea. You know, I think you should love what you do, and you should be excited and thrilled to go to work every single day of your life. And when you're not, you should consider doing something else. And if that means something else is getting into the adult industry,
right,
well, more power to you. But my advice is to take it seriously as a business, not just a playground.
Right.
And be on time and know your lines if you're shooting a feature. And make sure you look good and have your nails done if you're a girl.
Right.
And if you're a guy, make sure you do your personal hygiene.
Yeah.
All that stuff is, you know, it is a very professional job. It's a business and it should be taken seriously.
Right. The way it's changed from a sexual standpoint, is it getting too extreme? Is there such a thing?
You know, I guess it's all perspective. I got to tell you, one of the things I'm seeing right now is gagging. You know, everybody likes to gag. Everybody likes to.
And you're saying that you don't know what people like until they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they like it? Is this what people like?
And
what we've been seeing lately?
It sells. So you hate to say, you know, well, I don't like it, so I'm not going to make it for people who might like it.
Right.
We have a certain set of standards, and we want to make sure that women are empowered in our movies and that they're doing things that they enjoy. And if a girl enjoys that, it's still a tough edge for us, because we want to portray women in a more of a power position and not in a, I don't want to say degrading, but, you know, when I look at that stuff, I look at it and say, ooh, I'm not crazy about that. But if she enjoys it and she likes it, good for her.
Right.
It's just, it definitely starts to cross a line for us in terms of the content that we want to produce.
Right. I gotcha.
Yeah.
You watch a lot of this.
I do. I watch, I broke it down. I think I watch something like 1,200 hours a year. It could be more than that. You know,
wow.
I probably watch at least 20 hours a week, something like that. 15 to 20 hours a week.
Wow.
It's a lot of
that's
porn,
overwhelming.
Folks.
It really is. I mean, that's more than most perverts. So,
well, you know, I could be a pervert, I suppose.
Do you ever get turned on? Are you to the point where you're kind of numb by it, or does it still spark something in
you? Well, I tell you, the thing is, part of my job is I watch our movies for final edit approval. Mm-hmm. So after a director shoots his movie and the editor finishes it, they give it to me and I give it the once over to make sure that, you know, there aren't any spelling errors, that there aren't any continuity problems, that there aren't any abrupt edits or off camera the director's talking or, you know, things like that that other people wouldn't even consider that we would have to look for, I look for.
Right.
So when I'm watching a movie from that perspective, I don't necessarily find myself going, ooh, look at that.
Right.
Because I'm too busy looking to make sure that the camera doesn't go in and out of focus and that the edits are well and that the sound levels are good. It's not to say that if there's a really hot scene, I don't go, ooh, that is kind of a hot scene.
Right.
But it doesn't impact me the way it would if I watch a movie from a different way. Just as an example, we have a movie called Curse Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing movie. And the first time I watched it, I was watching it for mistakes and problems. And it was a good movie. And I went, oh, okay, that was a good movie. Well, we put up a website for it, curseeternalthemovie.com. And I was going to write most of the text. So I said, well, I'm going to sit and watch it again as a normal person would watch it. And, you know, get a better idea for the stuff. Yeah, what a kick-ass movie.
Right.
So my God. I was like, ooh, need a little break here.
Right.
So... yeah, I still get turned on by watching movies. I'm not.
Do you
numb to it
do
totally.
You watch them for the pure pleasure ever? Do you
absolutely.
Your guy or anything? I mean, is it part of your private life?
I couldn't be in this business for 21 years if I didn't love porn.
Right.
I love porn. I really do. And I'm very, very grateful that I work for a company that puts out good quality product. I couldn't watch this much if it was garbage.
Right.
That would be brutal.
Yeah. Off to work.
But you know, I'm fortunate I work for a company that really does produce good content, and it makes my job a lot easier.
What do you think in this this day of porn makes a star? There's so many girls out there. I'm interviewing them. They all have their own vision of what porn should be and how to be a porn star. And you go to CES and there's a million of them signing their name. And
everybody wants to be Jenna.
Yeah. You know,
everybody wants to be a star.
Absolutely. What makes a star?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, to be honest. Number one, I think it's personality, personality, personality. Mm-hmm. I think it's an innate sexuality about them. I think intelligence is a key part of it, being smart enough to know how to be a smart businesswoman.
Right.
Because it's not just about how you look and how you have sex. It's about how you handle your career, and you're not going to be a star unless you're handling this as a career.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It's way too much work.
Mm-hmm.
It's being on time, and it's giving good interviews and really hitting the road hard. And I think, to be honest with you, it's being promoted in the right way.
Right.
And that was our success with Jenna, was in making sure that we had a smart marketing plan behind getting her out there and not just throwing caution to the wind and going, right. Oh, yeah, we'll do some interviews now and then. You know,
right.
It's not like that. As you know, you have to work your ass off if you want to get any notoriety in this industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of girls who work their ass off and don't get noticed. And it could be because they don't have a $100,000 marketing campaign behind them.
Right.
You know, it's a combination of things. I don't think there's any, you know, die cut and dry. This is, you know, you follow step A, B, and C, you'll be a star.
Right.
I think it's a lot more than that.
Will there be another Jenna?
You know, I get asked that a lot,
mm-hmm.
obviously, and I'm not sure that the level of success that she's had can be achieved again. I don't think you'll ever have another Jenna,
mm-hmm.
but I do think there will be another girl who comes along who makes a major impact on the industry, the likes of which had never been seen before.
Right.
I do think that's possible.
Right. You know, I mean, before Jenna, there was Ginger Lynn.
Absolutely.
I mean, it had happened
and Marilyn
before.
Chambers before her.
Absolutely.
And,
so it has happened before. It's just that we're past a lot of people's memory of it.
Right.
You know?
And people have new expectations. Look, you know, she's enjoyed a lot of mainstream success, as have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next level is to have more crossover in it. And I'm not sure that the current administration and the sort of politics right now would allow that, but I think as soon as there's a new administration in the House, You'll see the networks open back up like they used to.
Right.
I mean, I could certainly could not have had the success with Jenna that we had, had there been a Republican in the office.
Isn't that amazing?
That's reality.
And do you think she recognizes it, or do people recognize that so much of her fame relied on so many factors coming together? It's like astrology almost, you know, the planets aligned.
I say that all the time. I think the planets aligned in just such a way that you had Steve Ornstein recognize her talent and hire me specifically to promote her and put her in the best possible movies, mm-hmm. with a director, Brad Armstrong, that shot great movies.
You had the E! Network, was willing E-Network to finally put on
great
adult talent that had never done that before.
Howard Stern was, you know. But people, it's so funny, people think, you know, Jenna just got on the Stern Show. It took me 6 months
right
to get her on that show. This right. Didn't happen overnight. And that's, right. I think, people misunderstand how quickly things happened, and it took us one full year before people knew who she was, and the phone
right.
started ringing off the hook. But it was one full year of my entire focus. That is all I did.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'm still very good friends with Jenna. Mm-hmm. She's a very good friend of mine. And she certainly does recognize that all of the stars aligned.
Right.
You know, she may not have at one point, but she certainly can reflect now and see that it was a combination of a lot of different things that
right.
had to have happened in order for her to be where she went. But she is Jenna.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the other. I mean, that's one of the stars that had
yeah.
to be there was the Jenna star making
right.
it all.
I can work my ass off, but if I don't have the right tools,
right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
There have been plenty of other girls I've worked with that didn't gain the star power that Jenna has achieved.
Right.
Right. You know, so kudos to her.
Do you see, like you said, with a new administration and the networks opening up, you know, and HBO and all of these networks that are becoming, you know, I mean, it's there. Everyone is fascinated with it. You see The Secret Life of Women.
Great show.
You know, there's the Porn Women and
mm-hmm.
Pornucopia. And it's just, will it ever, is it destined to mesh? Will it become a true crossover?
You know, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
There is something taboo about sex.
That's what I was going to say. It's because you boil it down, they're fucking.
They're having,
that's where the
right.
line is.
You know, the bottom line is it's sex. And as long as you have religion trying to teach people that it's bad,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have people believe it's bad.
Right.
Even though it's a very natural thing and enjoyable and certainly one of the only things you can do for free that's that much fun.
Right.
But you have a lot of people who really believe that it's evil and that you shouldn't do it. And as long as that exists in society, it's going to be a taboo business.
Right.
And it will enjoy some crossover,
mm-hmm.
but I still think that it will continue to be sort of the, like they call it, the Hollywood backlot.
Right.
Because we'll never truly be embraced as mainstream. Although, if you look at the numbers, and if it's a $6+ billion a year industry,
mm-hmm.
we bring in more than professional sports combined, but somehow we're not mainstream.
Right, exactly.
How is that not mainstream?
Well, you know,
you
silent
know?
Majority kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, we're the majority, but we don't want to talk about that.
I remember there was an interesting statistic that more people rented adult entertainment than voted in the presidential election.
Wow.
And I found that pretty interesting that more people are watching porn than voting. And if
right.
it was the other way around, we'd have more porn.
Yeah. Hello.
If we could get people to vote.
Wow.
You know? So I always found that to be kind of interesting.
How about the guys in the business? They really kind of get the short end of the stick.
So to speak.
Isn't that funny? How I run. But, you know.
Yeah, they're props. I mean, you know,
yeah.
the reality is. I do think, I will say, I think the guys have gotten better looking
mm-hmm.
since the days of Ron Jeremy, who I love and I respect and admire.
But I don't need to see
but
that
I don't
having sex. I'm sorry.
Thank
it's
you.
Just not on my agenda this week.
Well, and again, I think that has to do a lot with the way the industry has changed and
mm-hmm.
that it has become more popular and more accepted and people are more willing to do it. Now, besides the fact that they're better looking, the fact of the matter is, they're still just a prop. They're just
right.
sort of a tool. And a tool. But that is sort of the reality.
A lot of them are.
Yes, yes.
That's the other
true.
Side of it.
But, you know, the movies primarily sell because of the woman, right, because of the girl who's in it, and not because of the guy. There are a few guys that have been fortunate enough to have great careers, but sure, they're few and far between.
Yeah,
they really are. It's almost they're sort of disposable. It's the disposable cock.
It's really funny to see, being in it myself, you see patterns. And so it always seemed to be like to hit a 2-year wall as female talent, because you're working so hard, right, but yet a lot of your stuff is still on the shelf. Mm-hmm. The companies aren't taking it, you know.
It hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, you know, and so you feel like you're working so hard, but yet you're not the star you think you should be.
Right.
You know, so that first 2-year wall was really brutal to get mm-hmm. through. And then I think there was another 4-year wall, which was like, oh my God, what am I doing?
You know, right, I mean, it's just like, cycle.
This is going to be forever. But then with the guys, it was more the 4-to-5-year wall.
Right.
Where they just really lost it and were pissed off that they weren't bigger stars, that they were just props, you know. Fuck the business, I'm getting out, you know. Tommy Byron, I've seen them all.
Right, and then they come back.
And then they come back. And then they're fine, and then they're great, and then they're lifers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And that's true. It's true. But I think most things run in cycles.
Sure.
I mean, I think the world is a cycle in and of itself. And you see the same thing with talent. You see the same thing with what's popular. You know, mm-hmm. it used to be big features. Then it was Gonzo. Then it's big features. Then it's Gonzo. Then it's right. big features. And then you're throwing in a couple other things along the way. But everything works in a big cycle like that.
Absolutely.
It really does. And I think that's okay. As long as people, again, If they have a plan and they really know why they're getting in the industry and what they're hoping to accomplish, you know, right. it's life in general is like that. If you don't know where you're trying to go, how are you going to get there?
Right.
You've got to know what the end result is that you're looking for so that you can gauge if you're on the right path.
Right.
And if you're not, you need to
stop.
This is
no different.
It's no different at all. In fact, I think people should use more care in Absolutely. This industry than others, because you can't, it does have an impact on your life in a way that very few other industries will.
Right.
You know, and you know, you've got a family to consider and
life
siblings
after
and
is very difficult.
It's very different than most other industries. And
yeah,
I think that that's something that has to be seriously considered when people are making a decision to get into the industry, is how is this going to affect me besides what is it that I want to do and where do I want to go, mm-hmm. is how will I handle these obstacles and bumps in the road when I get to them? And it's smart to at least have the thought in your head that you may hit some bumps in the road.
Right.
So that when you do, you can deal with it better.
Good thinking. You're so smart.
Well, you know.
Did you ever consider in front of the camera? Is that something that you would ever, ever,
you know, it's
back
funny.
In the day?
Even not back that, in the day.
You know.
You know, I had plenty of guys ask me right. if I would. It was never even a consideration.
No.
Just not, you know, I love the industry. I have so much unbelievable admiration and respect for the people like you and the women and the men who are able to take off their clothes and be comfortable and willing to give us this very intimate part of yourselves, but is never anything I've ever even thought
yeah.
I would be comfortable with. But I have so much respect for the people that do, but I could certainly never do it.
But no.
No.
Where do you think you're talking about technology and you have mm-hmm. to be on task to know where it's heading? It's moving so fast.
Oh, it's
what do you
so
see
fast,
for us?
So fast.
We're in HD. Are you guys doing high def?
Oh, yeah.
Are you,
we're doing.
Which freaks me out. I'm sorry. I can't really decide if I think high definition is good for porn or not, because people have
really
pimply asses.
See that.
You know, I mean, there's something to be said about
soft focus.
Exactly.
I said the same
You know,
same
I
thing.
Mean, my God, it's hard enough to look at my own twat
right.
up close, much less
Somebody
like,
else's.
Oh. And the big, huge oh. TVs they have.
Right,
now and everything.
Right. Oh. Yeah, it's getting very intimate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said the same thing. We shoot about 80% of our movies in HD.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, you know what's so funny about HD is that there's this huge hype about HD.
Right.
Even though no one can see it yet because there are no players. That
right,
can
exactly.
Play it. Nobody edits in HD. Hardly anybody masters in HD, but oh my God, we got to have HD.
Right.
It's like a catchphrase of the month kind of uh-huh. thing. Everybody's uh-huh. got to have it. The only people who can really, truly see it is if a cable provider like Playboy, we have a deal with Playboy, and they've right. taken our HD stuff. And then somebody has
My TV's not. Yeah, the TV. So.
And so that's what's so funny to me. What we're finding, we're shooting in HD for Playboy, and we're releasing them. And even though they've been shot and mastered in HD, they're not necessarily edited in HD, and people can't play them on an HD player.
Right.
But they're selling better. People want it.
People care.
You know, but it's amazing to me. And the technology is not even quite there yet. And there's still the whole HD DVD versus Blu-ray, you know, the technology war that's going on in the midst of all of this, and, you know, which people probably aren't even aware of.
Right, exactly. They're like,
that's sort of happening right now. But besides that, I mean, I think you're seeing, you know, the mobile content is a huge emerging industry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to a mobile content conference next week in Las Vegas.
Excellent.
We have a couple of mobile deals right now that we right. work on. What's funny is that, you know, that here in the U.S., we like to think, we live in such a bubble, because we like to think we have the best of everything, and we're on the cutting edge of technology. And I got to tell you, it's nothing compared to Asia and Europe.
Yeah.
Most of the mobile content deals that we're doing are in Europe, because nobody's phones here can even play them
right.
worth a damn. So it's so funny, and I'm sure that as the technology catches up here, we'll see that market expanding hugely.
Do you think that will change things? Because really, you're sitting on the subway watching a porn. It's the same etiquette as, can you really sit on an airplane and read a Playboy? Is right. that okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that you know, there have been bills that have come, and I don't think any of them have passed yet, but they're trying to pass legislation to make it illegal to watch porn in a car.
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking. You know, you drive by and you see it. I'm like, do I really need to drive by right. and see that anal? I don't know.
No, and they've been struck down so far, because at this point it's considered unconstitutional to tell somebody what they can or can't watch in the privacy of their car. The argument, of course, is if I'm driving down the road in my ridiculous excursion and I'm playing porn and the kids in the car next to me can see it, have I changed it from being in the privacy of my car to the right. public avenue of the freeway?
Right.
And that's an argument that I think we'll have to end up seeing. I'm sure it'll go up to the Supreme Court.
Is there any legal battles right now that you're afraid of? Do you see coming down the pike that could really hit?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there have been some incredibly frightening developments, besides the fact that we have a very conservative Supreme Court now, which has been devastating. I think we're going to see some huge challenges come down the pipes with 2257 regulation, which, for most people who may not be aware of it, is a law that was passed a long, long time ago to try and prevent child porn. Of course, we make adult entertainment shot by adults, with adults,
for adults,
but for some reason they feel the need to legislate us and to try and prevent child porn.
Right.
There has never been a case of child porn in the adult industry, I might add. But the regulations are so all-encompassing that they could really put people out of business very, very quickly.
Right.
It's just record-keeping, and there's no need to go into the boring details of it. But it's frightening what they're really trying to do in terms of this legislation. And we're fighting it. The Free Speech Coalition
right.
has sued the federal
government.
Well,
they knew
it.
They couldn't get us on obscenity because
right.
the... You know, it's community standard, and the community
right.
doesn't consider it obscene, so instead we'll create this other...
And even that has changed in regards to a lot of cases where people buy stuff over the internet, and just because they're in a conservative town, they're considering the internet to be the community of the internet being the community of the world, not necessarily that one little tiny town. And just because you don't like it doesn't mean your neighbor shouldn't be able to watch it.
Right.
So, and... You know, we're seeing a lot of that stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, I'll be heading up to Sacramento to lobby in a couple of weeks here.
Good for you.
So just keep them up to speed on what we're doing, and keep the legislation out of the house so that we can continue to have a healthy and strong industry.
So we can stay home and watch our porn.
That's right.
Damn
or
it.
Watch it on the subway.
You know, whatever floats your boat. Be respectful.
Exactly.
Joy, thank you so much for being here. Everybody go to wickedpictures.com.
Yeah, we have all of our movies up there, and we just
Excellent.
Actually updated our members area of our website, so go check it out.
Excellent. Wickedpictures.com. And if you're looking for a movie, if you're wondering what should I get this week? Make it a wicked picture. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody, this has been Hey Julie from JulieLand.com. We'll talk to you next time.